Welcome back to the What Are You Driven By podcast. This season, we are really exploring the challenges and the changes that shaped who people are and what drives them. So maybe you're going through a difficult time or someone you love is going through a difficult time. Our goal is that you might discover someone that went through a similar situation and can give you the strength or insight to help you make it through. So make sure you subscribe to the What Are You Driven By podcast and connect with us online at Driven By Co. On this episode, we have Sonia Cichoria, a career coach and the founder of Level Up with Sonia. Welcome, Sonia. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. As you mentioned, my name is Sonia Cichoria. I am a nonprofit director focused on revenue development in my 9-to-5 world. I am so fortunate and very proud of being able to dedicate my almost 9-year career to the nonprofit sector, working on various different fields, different causes around healthcare and animal welfare, humanitarian aid, the list goes on and on. And now I'm actually a career coach in my 5-to-9, but in addition to the career coaching, what really fuels me and what I love the most about it is helping people level up their confidence. And in addition to that, I'm actually on 2 boards in my evening work that I do. So the first one is the Toronto Cat Rescue, which is where I adopted my cat, Toby. And the second board is the Peel Community Climate Council, where I am the vice chair.
Wow, that is a lot all in one and all at the same time. So later on, we're going to have to dive into how you're managing all of that. But I also love how you mentioned you're helping people with their confidence. So let's backtrack a little bit. I want to hear, you know, you're working on these big projects, and I know fundraising in the nonprofit sector is no joke. Like, these are some big gifts sometimes you're dealing with. So I'd love to know, you know, that rise through your career and then moving into your journey as a career coach. Give us the story. Like, how did this all happen for you?
Yes. So it's a very diverse story of all different intersections and different levels of excitement. So I think, we could go as far back to when I was 5 years old, but I think really for the purpose of today's conversation, I really want to focus on the starting point of when I was in university and what I studied in university, because it ties in really well to this story and where I've landed now in my career. And okay. I actually went to school at York and I studied human resources management, and I loved studying HR. Like, it fueled me. There was so much, like, just the learning of how organizations operate, that side of the business was really interesting to me. But ironically, when I graduated and I started working in HR, I did not like it at all.
Oh, interesting. Okay, what happened here?
I realized after a point in time that I didn't want to be at a desk 9-to-5. I completely understand, you know, desk work is important and we have to kind of focus in on certain areas of administrative task in almost every job function. But that was the part of the job that I didn't enjoy, was being at my desk. And the other part of my job, where it was being out in the community and really getting to engage with other people and being able to talk and explain the work that we do and trying to bring people in and engage with us as staff or as volunteer, was the best part of my job. That is what fueled me. And anytime there was an opportunity, even if I had to drive like an hour away, that was when I was putting up my hand to be like, I'll do it. I'll drive like as far away as you need me to go to do this event, to be at this fair, and to talk to as many people as possible. And that's really what started this focus and this interest in something called community engagement, which has really been my focus later on in my career, that really brought me back into the fold of fundraising.
Wow. You know what? I saw a quote today and it was like, pick what you would do for free and make that your career. And it's like, when you're putting up your hand and willing to do these things, like driving hours away, that's when you know that's what's meant for you. So I love that. So you tapped in.
Yes, not only did I tap in, but the people around me started to realize what I couldn't even realize. So I am so grateful to my boss at the time who, for this HR role that I was in, she was the one that called me into her office and she kind of figured out that these are the pieces that I liked the most. And she recommended that I apply for a different job within the organization and not on her team because she knew that that was going to be where I excelled and where I found the most fulfillment. And it's very rare to have managers that are like that. And I, from that day forward, I promised to pay it forward to as many people as possible because she was able to offer me that advice and see these blind spots I couldn't see.
That's a true leader who actually will put you in a position to excel, even though it's sacrificing, from her team. So I love that.
Yes. And because of this community engagement passion, and the role that she had me apply to that I ended up working in after was as a community engagement coordinator for a program in Etobicoke. And I really enjoyed my time there. And that helped me fuel and explore new opportunities to learn more about community engagement. And that's where I went to pursue my master's in leadership and community engagement, which was like a brand new program at the time. I was in the first cohort. I was very proud to be a part of it. And that just kind of opened up my world to a whole host of possibilities of what could come. So I was studying, I was working in community engagement, and then at the same time, the pandemic hit, of course. Lots of stories come out of the pandemic around, a lot of challenges that people had, but also the other side of it, a lot of opportunities that people were able to start in the pandemic. And I have a prime example of that. It's my business, Lavish and Cozy, where I was working on creating from hand, homemade, natural vegan bath products. And I built that up from scratch. And it was just, I was working at the Toronto Artscape Foundation at the time. They were such an incredible organization because the whole organization was all about supporting artists and entrepreneurs.
Wow.
So if you had this other side of you, they wanted to help fuel that passion. And it's because of being in that environment that I got to explore this entrepreneurial side that I never knew I had.
Wow, that's incredible. And I don't know, anyone who's listening here, I have experienced Lavish and Cozy, and the products are amazing. But I know there's some news that some people may not know about Lavish and Cozy.
Yes. So interestingly enough, this was the first time I ever became an entrepreneur, and it was the perfect time to do so. And even like just, I always go back to this time when I told my cousin, she's just a few years younger than me, that I was starting this business and if she wanted to try out some of my products. And just the message that I got back from her was so exciting. She said, Sonia, I always knew that you were going to be an entrepreneur because from a very early age, and I completely forgot about the story. So she reminded me that at family parties, I would walk around, like I would just have my nail polish bag conveniently there to do people's nails and charge like $5 for a full set of nails and do the nail art too. And she's like, from there, I always knew that you were going to be an entrepreneur of some sort. But now, fast forward, I've had that business for a little over 2 years, and it's actually looking for a new owner to take it over because, as you now know, I've moved into career coaching, which is something that has always been what I wanted to do. But I was just waiting for that right time in my life to feel confident in the skills I have to be able to help other people. And about a year ago, last January, when I first met you, Dee, was when I decided to put that plan into action.
Amazing. And it was so crazy how that happened. Like, we were connected through someone else. Some Sarah connected us, and it was through your old business. So it was almost like
Yes.
your old business was the catalyst for the next step in your life. And it was a necessary learning period for you and then set you up for success for the next chapter. And I love that. I'm so grateful to have been a part of that journey, to have done the Success Strategy Summit when you were able to join us, and to just launch such an incredible new chapter for you because you are one of the success stories that came out of the event. So I'm so, so glad.
Oh my goodness. It was such, even when we had our Success Strategy Summit this year, it was such a full circle moment for me because last year I was there as not even an attendee. I was there as a vendor off in the side, working on orders that people had made, and I told them that it would be ready after the session. So I'm working on my orders, but I'm also listening to you, listening to all of the things that you're saying. And I will never forget, you said a quote, it was in the goals setting strategy piece, and you said, "We wouldn't break our promises to our best friends, so why are we breaking promises to ourselves?" And that has stuck to me. And I don't know what, like this, I know I said that I was waiting for my confidence to be leveled up and I was waiting to really feel like I could help other people, but it was at that moment where I said, "Okay, you know what? I'm a director now. I've been in corporate careers for almost 8 years at that point. I've leveled up my own career. I know that I can help other people too. I'm not going to break this promise to myself anymore. I always said I was going to do it, but I was waiting for the right time. Now is the time."
Amazing. That is so incredible. And I'm glad that stuck with you because it's so true. I always talk about accountability and having an accountability partner and putting it out there because it's so true. We have these promises. Yeah, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to change this. But as soon as we have someone else that's involved or, you know, we're putting it out in the world in a different way, then it's like, now I'm more committed. And prioritizing yourself in such a way where you actually follow through with what you're going to say changes your mindset so much. And now you're committed to the things that you said you're going to do for yourself. And look what it's done. Look what it's done. So I wanted to kind of ask you throughout this whole journey, I'm sure you've learned so much, but is there a particular experience that stands out that taught you the biggest lesson?
Oh, I think there's like, how much time do we have? Like, there are so many individual lessons that I can reflect on. But now, as a career coach, like when I look back on my 9 years of corporate career experience, and even just the ability that I have to help other people in their career too, I think, just from a holistic lens, the biggest piece of advice or the biggest lesson that I've learned is to treat your career like an experiment and not a permanent decision. And I know that, right? I know it sounds a little bit scary, like especially, I mean, I was never fond of science. I was never good at science, but being able to treat my career like a science experiment was something that I clearly have done very well. And I know it can be scary because we go to school, we spend money to learn about something very specific, and then all of a sudden, you know, we might not want to do that anymore after working in it for a couple of years. And it is scary because you make these decisions at 18 years old about what it is you're going to study and what your career is going to look like for the rest of your life. But at the end of the day, after graduation, you learn so many new experiences. You learn from so many different people from all different walks of life, and you start to explore what your other passions and interests might be. So it's a really great opportunity to rethink what your career could look like, rethink what new opportunities are, but by leveraging your current skill set.
I love that. And I love how you mentioned that at 18, we're making these huge decisions. And a lot of the work that I do is involved with, you know, asking the right questions because this is a big decision for 18-year-olds and our brains aren't even fully developed yet. We're making lifelong decisions. So to then reframe the career portion of it to say, this is an experiment and you don't have to stick with this for the rest of your life. You can try this out, take what you can from it, and then change your path moving forward. I think it's a beautiful way to sum it up and takes the pressure off of people. Right?
Yeah, for sure. I think so too. And of course, there are certain fields like a doctor or a lawyer, like you need very specific credentials. But there's also like, who's to say you can't turn it around and do something else with those credentials if you have them. So for example, there was someone that I was helping in law that didn't want to be a practicing lawyer anymore. Well, they could teach. They had great skills in being able to teach. They had experience as a mentor in their law firm. It's just being able to reframe what your core skills are and then exploring what you can do with those skills.
Love that. Absolutely. Now, I know a lot of people during their career, like you found out for yourself, when you started your career in HR, you found there were certain things that you really didn't like. And it probably left you feeling a little bit disengaged, a little bit unmotivated. So for the times when people are feeling unmotivated, right? Or even the times when you felt unmotivated, what do you think was causing that? And what do you think causes that for other people?
Oh, I think your community, and I know online the word community can be thrown out in so many different ways, but it's really the people that you surround yourself with can make such a big difference. And, you know, I love my friends. I have a great core group of friends, but then also realizing that you also need to surround yourself with like-minded individuals that are also along the same path as you. You're trying to achieve very similar goals. Goals that you can help one another and share information with one another. When I was starting Lavish and Cozy, I was able to meet other new entrepreneurs at the time and be able to learn from them and understand what this world looks like and where do I go from here. Even as a coach now, I'm a service provider. I've been able to meet other service providers such as yourself and learn from your journey and even share what's working for me and how we can help each other grow in that way. And then I even consider myself to be a content creator now. In my core group of friends, there's no other content creators. So I really had to go out there and look for other people who are in this world that I'm in too and build relationships from there and work off of one another.
Amazing. And I think you're right. Community really has an impact on your motivation because it really puts it into perspective that this is the normal behavior. This is what people are up to. This is what people are trying to do. And when you're in that community, you're like, yeah, me too. I'm going to go for it as well. Amazing.
And it almost like, again, another social media term. It's part of it is like being Delulu. So for those who don't know, it's about being delusional. And I've really embraced that in the last year. And like, that is my 2024 like motto. I am going to reach my goals by being Delulu. Like we are going to get there. I put out these, like, we all did our vision boards. We went to the Success Strategy Summit. We know what our goals are. They're big, they're ambitious goals, but we're going to reach them. And it's by building our community and, you know, finding the people that will support you. And I can share a story about, you know, when in particular I was knocked down and I had to build myself back up. It was, you know, this was one of the more challenging times because I was so young. I was 2 years into my career post-grad, and an HR professor invited me back to her class to be like a guest speaker, be on a panel, review resumes, talk about my career. And I had such a good time doing it. I think this was like the spark of I knew I was going to be a career coach one day, like 2 years into my career. And at the end of the session, I went to thank my prof for the opportunity. And I told her, you know, I'm actually dabbling into wanting to do resume review, resume editing as like a side hustle until I like build up my portfolio. And I was shocked by what she said back to me. I was not expecting her to say this. She said, "Okay, but Sonia, do you think you're the best at it?" And I paused. Yeah. Because I mean, it's very like, you've got to have a lot of confidence to be able to say I am the best at something. And at 2 years into my career, no, I didn't think I was the absolute best, but I knew that I was capable. So after she said that, she proceeded to say, if you don't feel like you're the best at it, I wouldn't recommend you doing it. And I felt like that was not great advice. And it really had me doubting myself. It really had me, you know, reevaluating whether or not this is something I should do. And it really had me down because I had a preliminary business plan in place. I had an older sister that was like, she's really wise. She looked over my business plan. She gave me advice. And ultimately that feedback that my former professor gave me, like, really weighed on me. And I didn't pursue my goals. I didn't, I held off doing this for another 5 or 6 years at that point, which is when I met you, Dee, and I'll never forget, like, the advice you gave me. And I wish I met you 5 years early at that point, because you didn't say anything about, like, do you think you're the best or do you think you're capable? You didn't say anything along those lines. The advice you gave me was to test it out. Test it out with some friends and family, people, and also, like, their network, people that don't know you. Test it out for a couple of months. Get some testimonials. Get some feedback on how you can improve yourself, and then go from there.
Wow, I'm still on what your professor said, because that has to be the most discouraging comment. Because at the end of the day, how many people are the best?
Yeah.
That's one person.
Yeah.
So she's basically saying, if you're not that one person, then everybody else shouldn't even try.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also, like, it had me thinking back to, like, so many different things, like the way that I was raised. Like, my parents didn't raise me to, like, you know, be the best at something. Like, they wanted me to succeed. They wanted me to find happiness, but no one molded me to, you know, put my foot down and be like, I am the best at this.
Yeah. And I think, like, that would almost hold you back because, well, for many reasons, but also because how hard do you have to work and how many years do you have to work to be considered the best? And it's only at that point that you start doing what you want to do. You know, like, but there's so much value in working and improving along the way. And it's so funny. Okay, so I have one story to share because this one, it made a huge impact on me and I think someone can learn from this. But there was a professor who did an experiment in their classroom. It was a photography class and they split the class into two. And one group had to do quantitative, they focus on the quantitative work. So the amount of work they had to do. And the other group had to do qualitative work. So it was basically each week, the quantitative group had to take pictures and they had to submit their pictures. And as long as they submit pictures every single week, they got their mark at the end of the term. Whereas the other group, they had all term to come up with one photo that was supposed to be the best ever. And so at the end of the term, whose photos were better? The quantitative group, because they had all the practice of every week. And each
Wow.
week, they incrementally got better. Whereas the other people were trying so hard and sitting on their laurels, trying to come up with this amazing picture without having had the practice. So I really think there's so much value in the journey and making those mistakes and learning from them, because how else do you become better?
Oh, 100%. And even building off of that, like, just thinking about where I was in my life, like, I took that one person's opinion and I let it weigh so heavily on me. And this is why community is so important, because even my sister said, you know, just try it out. Like, you don't need to charge right away. You're working full time. It's fine. You know, your livelihood doesn't depend on it. Just, you know, you test it out here and there. And I didn't listen to my sister, because that one opinion that was just so bold, that bold statement weighed heavily over me for years.
Yeah. And it was someone that you looked up to. And I think that's part of it, right? Like, someone who has those credentials and that prestige. She's a professor, right? And so she's someone who guided you previously. So you're like, oh, okay. Like, what she says has weight.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It really had weight, just in the wrong direction.
Should have listened to my gut.
Yeah. I know, but it's tough. And I think when we're younger, we're very vulnerable. And those things really get inside our head, and it's tough. And even as an entrepreneur, like, you are going to hear bad things sometimes and bad advice. And there's almost like a muscle, a reflex muscle, where you have to push those things out of your head and keep them away from you so that they don't affect your work. So that
Oh,
is,
yeah.
yeah.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sorry that you went through that, but I'm glad that it allowed you to kind of come out on the other side.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly what you said. Like being an entrepreneur, you could have a whole separate episode on the highs and the lows and everything that you go through in that world. And
Oh,
I'm only
yes.
half in that world, and look at everything I experienced.
Exactly. But it's all a learning lesson. So, anyone who's listening, and if you want to become an entrepreneur, definitely recommend it. It is difficult, but it is all a learning lesson, and you will be better for it, I promise, if you stick with it.
Definitely.
So, another question for you. Just thinking back to all the projects that you've worked on. Now, I want to tie this into our motivation. Is there something specific about a project that has you feeling engaged?
Yes. Looking back at my career, I think my most favorite projects that I was really deeply ingrained in and aligned with were the biggest ones, were the biggest projects where I had like a behind the scenes role. I absolutely love the ability to work on such a big task. So a few years ago, I was working at the faculty at the university that I was with, and they had their 50th anniversary coming up. I had just stepped into a secondment. I was covering a mat leave. I had 6 weeks to plan this event, 6 weeks to plan a 50th anniversary that was going to be like a 12-hour event. There was a daytime portion, there was an evening portion. And prior to me stepping into the role, the only things that were done was the venue was booked and the date was confirmed and a save the date went out, but nothing else had happened. So imagine me with 6 weeks to go in a brand new job, like running around to figure things out. But I absolutely love the ability to, one, come up with the big picture, which I do in so many different areas of my life. But then the other piece of my brain is helping somebody else's picture come to life. And really, for that project, it was the dean of the faculty, listening to what it was that she wanted to see happen. And, sometimes people in these like higher positions don't know the administrative things that have to take place in order to see their vision come to life. And sometimes, they're saying things that they're not sure how to express as well. So I learned the art of asking good questions, like being able to navigate really good questions to figure out what is it that you actually want? Because I think what you're saying is not what you actually mean, but let's figure it out. Let's keep asking questions to figure out what it is that you want to see. But in the end, I worked with so many different committees. I worked with the student committee, the alumni committee, faculty committee, and being able to listen, like there is such an art in listening and being able to take like the best of everyone's opinions and putting that together into something beautiful. We had such a successful event. Over 300 people attended, alumni, students, faculty, and the dean's vision, which I finally figured out what it was, came to life.
Wow, that's incredible. 6 weeks is not a long time to plan that scale of an event. Wow.
Yes. Anyone in event management will understand, and you too, you put on a lot of events as well. You will understand like how much running around that was, because this was pre-pandemic. This is like in-person event. Yeah, being able to navigate like the speakers and the exhibits, we wanted to showcase students as well. So what that looks like,
Oh my goodness. I hope you didn't have any other responsibilities during this time because that's a lot. Wow.
Yes, no, that was my only responsibility, and I went on vacation right after.
I'm sure you definitely needed it.
Yeah, I mean, mind you, it was a brand new job, but I was gone.
Yeah, no, after that, oh my goodness, the stress levels. Wow. Well, you pulled it off. That's amazing. Wow. So I love it. So it's the big projects that really had you engaged and learning how to ask those questions and how to clarify visions for other people. Because sometimes people can't put the words to what they're thinking. And I think you're right, that's a skill on its own.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
sure it
And
comes handy right now
oh,
in
yes.
your, yeah.
Definitely. In coaching as well, I've learned that. Really, I've looked back at my career and I've actually analyzed like very specific situations in my career that things probably would have worked out better or smoother or faster had I had asked the right questions. And these are not things we learn in school. These are things you learn throughout years of experience and being in those certain situations.
Yeah, it's so true. So true. Some of the most important experience and skills that we need in our careers universally are the things that we don't learn in school.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
When do we learn communication? When do we learn sales? Do we really learn problem solving? Right?
Math equation problem solving, but that's
Yep.
about it.
Yep. I know the Pythagorean theorem.
Yes.
Never forget that one. It's come in handy a few times, actually. I'm not gonna lie. There's been,
Oh, okay.
yeah, I can count like maybe three times where I was like, wow, I actually needed this. Oh my gosh. Okay. So as we're going through this, I always have to throw in this question because it is at the core of everything that I do. But Sonia, what are you driven by?
Oh my goodness. Community, building community. And again, like I know that's going to sound cliche. I know that there's so much online about building community, and that's what every content creator is trying to do right now. It's build community. But really, like even before I was a content creator, before I was a career coach, really my passion has always been community engagement and building community. Right now, my professional tagline as part of my personal brand is that I am a community engagement and fundraising professional. But way before I even had those years of experience or those credentials, my tagline was the ultimate relationship builder.
Ooh, that
Yeah.
is good. That is good.
Yes, because even at a young age, I pride myself on being able to connect the right people together, being able to connect the right organization with the right individual or the right volunteer with the right opportunity, just being able to find those synergies to benefit everyone.
Yeah.
And now, as a content creator, my building community is about building confidence. And that's really what I see the most. Clients will come to me for interview prep. They'll come to me about navigating their career, navigating a promotion. And it almost always stems back to one thing and one thing only, and that's building their confidence. And that's why
Wow.
it's my favorite part, because we all come from so many different walks of life. But if you have that confidence, and if you're able to articulate that confidence in a great way, you will reach your goals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there was even a statistic. I was actually facilitating a girls group, and we were talking about how men are 70% more likely to apply for jobs where they don't meet all the qualifications, whereas women want to make sure that they meet all of the
Oh,
qualifications
yeah.
before they apply. And I think that does come down to confidence, like having the confidence to say, it's okay if I don't meet X, Y, and Z, I would still be great at this.
Yes. Yeah. And I think as women, we disqualify ourselves from job postings all the time. And it's so unfortunate because men, for example, will apply to jobs where they might only be 40% qualified. But because everybody else has screened themselves out of that posting,
Yeah.
that one person with the 40% qualifications that aligns is the one that ends up getting the role.
Yeah.
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 So
So
don't screen yourself out. And that's why, like, building your confidence and having that ingrained in you before you even do your job search will work wonders, will be so powerful.
yeah. And I think it just contributes to your overall satisfaction and happiness in life, you know, like not being afraid to approach those opportunities and then looking back and saying, yeah, I did that. I think there's a real satisfaction in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Now, on that note, what do you think, I mean, aside from confidence,
Yes.
people need in life to be happy? What is your message around happiness?
Yes. So, I mean, I don't have anything original to share in this, but it's also a quote that I saw online, and it was like, the three you need to have three hobbies to be happy. One or three hobbies in life in general, and it's one that makes you happy, one that makes you healthy, and one that makes you money. And I think that really hits home too. And also being able to like figure out, you know, are you that type of, because I also came across another creator online who she said, you know, this year she's trying to be really mindful and purposeful about the things that she's doing and trying to have more hobbies. Because her brain, her business brain immediately went to anytime she's good at something, I'm going to monetize it. So, which can also be, you know, something like that was happening to me too with Lavish and Cozy. When I was trying to do Lavish and Cozy and level up, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to let go of Lavish and Cozy because like, it's just, it's fun. It's so fun to like be in the kitchen. I was calling it my laboratory, but I was in the kitchen, you know, making soap, like cooking up soap and coming up with all these like potions and scents and like, you know, that creative side, but just the time to monetize it. Like I did not have that time anymore. So it's like, how do I find other hobbies now that I enjoy? And then how do I also stay healthy? Especially in these like cold winter months when I don't want to leave my house. How do I find a hobby that is going to keep me healthy as well. And I'm not great at it, but as you know, Dee, I love to cook. So I try my best to like get my healthy bucket from my cooking that I do.
Yeah. It's so true. You're such a great host. Oh my goodness.
Thank you. That brings me a lot of happiness.
Wonderful. Okay. So you heard it here first. You've got to have a hobby that makes you happy, one that makes you healthy, and one that makes you money.
Yes.
So don't omit any of the above.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. So I've got one more question for you. You know, based on your journey and your experience through all these different chapters of your life, what advice would you want to leave our listeners with?
Oh, okay. So I'll wrap it up in like with a nice bow, make it like one of my viral TikTok videos, my top three tips. So my top three tips out of today's discussion, I think number one, it's just going back to that conversation that I had with my professor and how it like really led me on really tough times in my life. And the advice that would come out of that is go with your gut. I really should have not allowed one person's opinion to weigh so heavy. Go with my gut, explore other avenues and figure out other ways to make it happen. That I think is number one. Number two is treating your experiment like a career and not a permanent decision, because the world of careers, like the opportunities are endless. There is so much you can do. There's so much you can explore. There's so much that you can do to transition even your personal brand from being in corporate career to being a freelancer. Like there's so much opportunity out there. So don't feel like you're stuck to a decision that you made when you were 18. And like rolling right into the next tip is around, you only know what you know. So think about yourself when you were 18, you only know what you know. But then as you learn, as you go through life, as you experience new things, then your opportunities start to open, your mind shift and your mind frame and all of that starts to change too. I always think about like when I was going to university, when I entered first year university, I didn't even know that you could study the environment. I didn't know jobs like urban planner and, you know, environmental analyst. I didn't know those things existed because that was not what my world consisted of before that. So I encourage you, like, even if you're happy in your career, even if you're, you know, you think you're on the right path, it doesn't hurt to just learn and explore about other people and other things just to make your world a little bit bigger too. Not saying to go and like transition your career into something new and fascinating, but just you only know what you know. So why not explore more of what you could know?
I couldn't agree more. I think it's so important, even to tie this into your community building, to tap into new communities, expand your worldview, attend networking events, sign up for these things online, even if you're in your career. At least once a month, sign up for something, whether it's a quick webinar or a networking event or a course online, a new podcast, something, just to start continuously expanding your worldview, because those little things that you learn from different communities and different places will come in handy and help you make better decisions later. So I think
Oh,
that
I
was
love that.
beautifully, beautifully summed up, Sonia. So thank you so much for those three pieces of advice. I think they were absolutely wonderful and so valuable. Now, I've learned so much from you, and I think so many people listening can go to you to help them level up their confidence and learn more about how they can level up their career. So if they want to do that, where do they find you?
Yes, I am on Instagram and TikTok at Level Up with Sonia. I've got free resources in my bio that you can check out, and I put out content daily with tips and tricks.
Wonderful. Okay, you heard it here first. Go connect with Sonia and start leveling up your confidence in your career. So thank you so much for tuning in to the What Are You Driven By podcast. We hope to see you next time for another life-changing and motivational story.